Voices of Hope is a podcast of New Hope Presbyterian Church in Castle Rock, Colorado. New Hope is a church that puts people first. You can listen to our sermons and podcasts on iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and any popular podcasting platforms. Pastor Russ brings us a sermon titled, I Can See Clearly Now, The Power of Perception.
Do you recognize this picture? It is one of the more iconic pictures in humankind. When astronaut William Anders took it on Christmas Eve, 1968, 52 plus years ago, I don't know if he knew what he was doing when he took this, but it had the effect of changing the way people began to see themselves, see one another, and see where we lived. It's iconic. It's influential because what it does is it gives us perspective. We had seen pictures of the Earth from space before, but never this far back, never from the other side of the moon coming around, never with this amazing sense of the singular, unique character of this blue marble that is in the black space that is amazing and fragile, and in it all, we are somehow interconnected, that we are all in this together. It was this picture, I believe, in the perspective that it brought them when Marshall McLuhan said, you know, there are no passengers on spaceship Earth. We are all crew. Perfect. That's what pictures like this do. They give us perspective and they tell us to pay attention to our life in a different way. They tell us to pay attention and to live differently because now we have seen ourselves differently. And wouldn't it be amazing if we were able to keep that perspective in front of us more often? There is that global perspective about who we are as citizens on this planet. There's also the perspective that we get individually from time to time too, isn't there? Isn't there those times, and aren't there those times in our lives when we get perspective and a sense of clarity about who we are and what we are about? And when we have them, whether they are on literally a mountaintop or in a camp or in the quiet of a moment, whenever that happens, it has an impact and it stays with us. And if we are lucky and if we listen to it enough, it begins to inform all the other moments of our life. The passage in front of us today does both. It gives a global perspective of who God is and what God is doing. It is also a personal perspective time for the disciples, and 2,000 years later, it has that same power for us. Let's take a look at this passage together and see what is the power of perspective and who Jesus is and the perspective that Christ gives us and what that means for us. In your Bibles, if you turn to this passage, you will see that the header, oftentimes it is called the Transfiguration. And even though there aren't headers and chapters and verses even in the original, we can see why it's labeled that way, because there is this moment that is just different and something changes, and it's more than just the visual effects. It is more than the altitude. It's more than just a change of scenery. There's this sense in this passage of not just a change of altitude, but a change of pace. It's like it's hitting the pause button in the book of Luke. Up until this point, Jesus' ministry has been hectic. It's been crazy. It has all kinds of things going. And now it's going about to get dangerous. And so there needs to be this moment, this pause. And even if, apart from the special effects glowing thing that's going on with his accountants, it's also the company he's keeping. Moses and Elijah. Moses, the giver of the law. To say, when we talk about Moses, we are talking about law. Elijah is the quintessential prophet from which all other prophets get their marching orders. When Jesus talks about fulfilling the law and the prophets, they would have understood in those days when he was within the presence of Moses and Elijah. And that fulfilling the law and the prophets is more than just a sort of a predictive scorecard that you check off. It has something to do with much deeper than that. It is fulfilling the intent. It is fulfilling the purpose of what the law and the prophets were trying to do, of teaching us who it is that we are as humans and what does it mean to be human in this world and what it means to be made in the image of God. it fills full what they were trying to do. So Jesus is there with the law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah, and people in those days would have understood very clearly what the implications were. It was the beginning of a new ministry. It was the beginning of a new chapter for Jesus, but also for the disciples, because their life was about to get very dangerous as well. And what God was confirming in their presence was not just who Christ was, and it wasn't just for Jesus' sake, it was for theirs. That they too were the beloved, because Jesus had told them so, that Jesus had brought them there, that Jesus had poured himself into them, that Jesus was going to give them the ministry of the beloved to tell other peoples about them being beloved. It was this moment of transfiguration of Jesus was going to be this moment of a milestone of transformation for the disciples. The transfiguration revealed and pulled back who Jesus already was. Now they get to see what had been in front of them always. They just couldn't see it. It wasn't apparent. But for themselves, this became a moment of transformation, because now this is who they are becoming. The passage that we have used, that I've used for this entire year on this, the title of The Path of the Beloved, is from Henry Nouwen, and it's a reminder that being the beloved is both the origin and it is the fulfillment of the work of the Spirit. It is who we are and it is who we're becoming. And we need to be reminded, we need perspective once in a while to remind us, this is who you are, and by the way, this is who you are becoming. As he goes on, he says, from the moment we claim the truth of being the beloved, we are faced with the call to become who we are. Becoming the beloved is the great spiritual journey we have to make. It was going to get scary for them. It was going to be, as they went down, it would be easy to lose their way. It would be easy to get overwhelmed with the activities, the chaos, the darkness that was around them. It would be easy to forget. They would need a reference point, and now they had one. Now they could remember, even when everything else seemed to have gone wrong, they could point back to this and go, hey, remember that time? And they would draw strength from it. They could draw comfort from it. And what is true for them is true for us. We are the beloved. We know because Jesus has told us. We know because we stand in the long line of people who have followed Christ and have passed stories like this on and experiences like this on from one to the next to now. And we need to be reminded as well. We need to remember that we are the beloved. This is who we are. This is who we're becoming. And even if it isn't apparent, it's real. Before we take one more step, maybe it would be good to take a step back, to remember, to be renewed, to get some perspective of who we are. Thank you. There are times when we just need perspective. And it's not so that we can escape from reality, but so that we can engage it. It's not so that we can avoid all the problems and the chaos and the hecticness of our life and our everydayness, but it's so that we can lean in new ways. And so it's important that we find times to do just this, that before we take another step forward, we step back. We do that in a number of different ways, and we try to remind ourselves in those times that we know that there's going to be days when what we were clear about at one point, it gets fuzzy and it gets forgotten, and that it's easy to forget who we are and the reality of God's presence. I was thinking about that the other day because we were doing a baptism here. A young mom came in, single mom with her child, 3-year-old, and she grew up here. In a lot of ways, this is her home church. And she wanted to get baptized. She had never been baptized before and wanted to mark a new beginning in her life and wanted to know how to do that. I said, this is a place of new beginnings. Perfect, come. And then wondered if she could bring her 3-year-old son. I said, sure, let's do that too. And so in all the ways that you do these days with distancing and masks and just a handful of people and someone FaceTime and Skyping in and all over the place, and we did it and we were here, and it was a warm and wonderful moment. And then afterwards I remembered that we have this practice, and this is what the point of this story is. We have this practice that started with a letter that I got from the minister who baptized me when I was a baby. And my mom had kept it, and then at one point gave me that letter, and I was just so struck by it. I don't think I'd ever seen it before, and I still have it. And it meant the world to me. It meant, here was this person saying, listen, you don't remember this, but you were baptized, and on this day, let me tell you what that was about. And it touched me in such a way that I decided I'm going to do the same. And so since then, we have this letter, with this letter that we send out to parents to give to their children, that when they're older. And it goes something like this. This is the version of it that, you know, you were too young to understand what was going on. So let me tell you what happened. Your parents, or that day, your mom, loved you very much and wanted you to be baptized and affirmed their own faith and asked God to help them in this new chapter of their life as parents. They promised to nurture and to teach about God so that someday you'd be able to own that same faith for yourself. And the congregation, because in our tradition, this is a congregational community event, made promises. And they also promised to make this a place where Christ was taught and you would grow up knowing that on behalf of the entire church everywhere, that the church would do the things to know that you were loved by Christ. For your part, you pretty much absorbed everything as it happened. And even as you get older, that's a pretty good approach to God's grace. Even though you may find words to define it, in the end, you never really understand grace. You just receive it, and you take it in. I hope and pray that there are many happy and wonderful days ahead for you. And I know there will also be days, though, when things don't go so well. And in the worst of those days, in the worst of them, let this letter remind you of your baptism and what it means. You are loved by God more than you can ever understand. Nothing can separate you from God's love. And you were made to receive and reflect God's love for the rest of your life. May the love of God bless you richly now and always. And then I close with a quote from Zephaniah, a prophet. The Lord your God is with you, and God is mighty to save, and God will take great delight in you, and God will quiet you with his love. And God will rejoice over you, will exult over you with singing. Perspective. Because we all go through those times when life gets incredibly complex and hard, when we have so many questions and not enough answers. And we need to be reminded of those times, those moments of clarity. And even if we can't remember, we need people to tell us and to remind us that you are not alone. You're not forgotten. You're not forsaken. You're beloved. And even though you can't see it right now, even though you can't see God right now, we all go through those times. But you just need to remember who you really are. And if you can't remember it right now, take it from us. Take it from somebody else who maybe has a little fresher memory or can remember it now, because there may be a day you need to do that for someone else, because isn't that what it means to be the church? The reason I thought about that in this context is because I was standing pretty much right here as we were getting ready for that service, and I was looking up and I was noticing, if you've been in our sanctuary, you know that we have a cupola where the light pours in from the top. And if you were around long enough, you know that before it was a cupola, it was an iron structure, and it was all surrounded with scaffolding, and it was all barricaded off. And there was one night when Dave Arnett and I went past all the scaffolding and went past all the barriers, and I think enough time has gone by that the statute of limitations has probably passed, so I think it's okay to tell this story. But we got up on top and we sat on the very top bar of that cupola, and it was a clarity moment for me. It was a perspective moment for me. It was transformational again, because at that point, this was one of the tallest structures in all of this area, certainly if not Castle Rock. And you could just see, but more than just the view, it was the view of people who came from Levere's and Sedalia and said, there needs to be a church in this place for a community that's not here yet. It was all the people who came since then and poured their life into this place and gave of their money and their energy and their talents and their service and their prayers, so there could be a place that we could tell people of this, that was here to remind people, you're not forsaken, you're not forgotten, you're not alone. And it's easy to forget who you are, and it's easy in the hectic moments when you are down the hill and it's chaotic and even scary and dangerous. It's easy to forget. But there needs to be a place to say, you're not forgotten, you're not forsaken, you're beloved. And then there's those times when we need to hear it from others, because that's what a church does. That's what worship does in particular. That's what the whole church does in general. We need perspective from time to time, don't we? We need to be able to see our lives in this world from a different perspective in order to get our bearings, not to avoid life, but so we can lean in a new way, so that we can engage. We step back so we are better able to step forward. Amen.
Tell me something, girl. Are you happy in this modern world?
Worship is about stepping back so that we can step forward. We're getting ready to step forward into a new week. And so the question is, so what's waiting for you down the mountain? What's waiting for you in the week ahead? What kind of hectic things are going on? What kind of bewildering kinds of things? How many balls are you trying to keep in the air? How many plates are you trying to keep spinning? And all those other cliche metaphors that gets to the truth is that sometimes life can get pretty overwhelming. What's waiting for you? What kind of task? What kind of sense of isolation? What kind of sense of loneliness will you encounter in yourself and in others? Hopefully this has been a time of some perspective, of stepping back, of seeing who we are and what God is doing, seeing who God would have us become so that now we can step forward. So what will be the next step for you? It might be to continue to find ways to nurture who we are in Christ. Ash Wednesday's coming up, the season of Lent, and if you are on our email list, you will get something in the morning, which is a way of setting this whole season. And if you aren't on our email and want to be, there's ways to do that. You'll find those at the end of the service. Just get online, say, I'd like to get the emails, and you will get that. It may be the prayer class that's also starting, the 40 days of prayer that's starting on Wednesday, and I'm looking forward to leading that in all its different ways, and the information's on our site. You can look for that and even sign up for it on the link that you'll see at the end. Maybe it is to get a new perspective by reading a book by John Lewis, as our Race and Racism class is helping us do. Boy, what a great book. What a great perspective that he brings and helps people lean in new ways with new courage, even with comfort. Or maybe it will be stepping forward and helping others see themselves as they are seen by God, as beloved, as the ones who are already embraced by God. And if they can't see it, you'll help be the one with a card, a call, a conversation. You'll know what it is and what makes the most sense to connect with somebody. There's lots of different ways. The question is, what will be your next step? As you do that, I know it will be in the sense and in the spirit of love. It will be in some way of fulfilling the great commandment that we all have. Go and love God with everything you've got. Go and love your neighbor as yourself. As you go, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, may you abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. As you go, may you go with Christ. May you go with the presence that's just as real in the moments of clarity and mountaintop, transformative times as in the most hectic and chaotic of times. May that same peace follow you and be even more apparent and be even more powerful. As we go out this week, may the peace of Christ be with you. Go in peace.
Thank you for listening to Voices of Hope. If you have enjoyed our podcast, please rate and review it and share it with your friends. Go in peace.